I have this image of many of you sipping from a big cup of coffee right about now. Maybe you go to the same coffee shop every day, order the exact same thing. But you know how some days that same cup of coffee just doesn't quite do it for you? Even after drinking it, you sort of feel like this. And then there are those days when that same cup makes you feel like this. Yeah, if your coffee didn't wake you up, that probably did. Well, we wanted to understand this whole phenomenon, this thing called caffeine that so many of us drink every single day without even thinking about it. We spoke to Murray Carpenter. He's the author of a new book called Caffeinated: How Our Daily Habit Helps, Hurts, and Hooks Us. We started by asking him how much caffeine is in our daily cup of coffee.
It's almost impossible to know. The caffeine levels in coffee vary widely. So you can get the same brew, the same preparation from the same cafe 2 days in a row, and the caffeine levels might be twice as high one day versus the next.
And tell us what this stuff is that we're putting into our bodies. What is caffeine?
In its essential form, it's a bitter white powder. It's a chemical that's naturally found in plants. It's primary function seems to be as an insecticide. And over the years, people have found, you know, independently that if you consume it, it has a stimulating effect. And that's basically how we've come to use caffeine over the years.
Okay, so this stuff is produced naturally. And I was interested as you took us sort of on a tour of caffeine. When they were coming up with decaffeinated coffee, they actually heated up coffee beans to burn out the caffeine. And you were left with this residue of caffeine.
Yeah, so that's considered, you know, naturally extracted caffeine. And that is one of the two ways that we get caffeine powder for use in soft drinks. The other way is to synthetically produce caffeine in pharmaceutical plants. And this is the way most of our caffeine is produced now.
And a lot of it is produced, this synthetic caffeine, in China. You visited a pharmaceutical plant, or at least got close to one. You weren't allowed in. And it sounded like kind of a scary looking place.
Yeah, I mean, sketchy. Yeah, I mean, it was not what I expected. It was sort of a rundown industrial park, and this was the world's largest caffeine plant.
Let me ask you about how much you should or shouldn't consume. There was some scary stuff in this book. You brought up the story of a college student. Tell me what happened there.
Well, he basically was at a party, and he took a couple of spoonfuls of caffeine and chased him with an energy drink, went into seizures, and died. And this is one of the ways, I think, in which we underestimate caffeine's power. And a tablespoon, about 10 grams, will kill you. So I think a lot of times we think of it as, you know, a drug that's not particularly powerful, but it really has to do with the dose.
Why don't we think of caffeine as a drug?
It's fraught, isn't it? I mean, on one hand, caffeine makes you feel wonderful, and most of us use it every single day. On the other, I think we have unease about being dependent on a psychoactive chemical. And so I think it's much easier for us to think of it as just, oh, I like my coffee or I like my Diet Coke, rather than I need a dose of caffeine right now.
Is it over the long term dangerous? I mean, as far as your research has taken you, you know, if you're drinking 3 or 4 cups of coffee a day...
No. I mean, I think for people who are using caffeine moderately, 3 or 4 cups a day, it's probably perfectly healthy. And, you know, there are some indications that we may even get some benefits out of long-term caffeinated coffee drinking.
What surprised you the most as you dug into this subject so intensely?
I'd say two things. One is sort of the scope and scale of the caffeine industry. If you just look at carbonated soft drinks and coffee together, that's $100 billion annually. Something else that really surprised me, our grandparents drank twice as much coffee as we do. Coffee consumption peaked around 1950 in this country. So, you know, despite the Starbucks on every corner, the sort of conspicuous coffee culture that we have today, we're not drinking as much coffee as our grandparents did. And they were more caffeinated than we are. As coffee consumption declined, carbonated soft drinks grew. They have less caffeine, but they've become our favorite caffeinated beverage.
You know, we think of Coke and Pepsi, and certainly those soft drinks we know have caffeine. But I was kind of surprised by some of the soft drinks that you know, I sort of didn't really think of as being caffeinated. There's a lot of caffeine in a lot of these drinks.
Right. So Sunkist is one that people don't think of as being caffeinated.
The orange soda.
The orange soda, sure. And one way to look at it is 8 of the top 10 selling soft drinks in this country are caffeinated. All of the top 5 are caffeinated. And if you look at, say, Coke, Diet Coke, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, and Dr. Pepper, the only common denominator besides carbonated water is caffeine.
And labeling can be an issue. You had quite a story about some orange soda. Tell me what happened there.
Yeah, I mean, you might call it Super Sunkist. These were sodas that should have had 41 milligrams of caffeine per 12-ounce serving. But instead, they were blended with 6 times the labeled amount of caffeine, so 240 milligrams per bottle. And 4,000 cases of this super caffeinated Sunkist went out there. They started getting consumer complaints and agreed with FDA to have a voluntary recall. But my impression is probably a lot of the people who consumed this and had some funny experience with caffeine probably didn't know exactly what was going on.
What is your guidance for people who drink coffee, drink Diet Coke? Where do you start risking having too much of this stuff?
So if you have trouble sleeping, well, caffeine's a well-known sleep disruptor, so I would certainly urge anyone who has trouble sleeping to experiment with, you know, moderating or eliminating their caffeine use just to see if it helps. And one of the other well-known risks of using too much caffeine is anxiety. A lot of people who are anxious learn not to use caffeine. The shorter answer is I think we should really try to pay more attention to caffeine use and how it affects our brains and our bodies.
Murray Carpenter, you have taught me a lot this morning, including that drinking some caffeine in moderation is not necessarily the worst thing, so I'm going to get back to my cup of coffee. You do the same. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for your interest.
Well, caffeine, you know that it's a frame. I got to have my coffee or I'll turn mean. I put it on the rocks so straight up with cream, you know.
You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.